Sunday, December 15th, the third Sunday of Advent. First reading from Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. Shout for joy, O daughter Zion. Sing joyfully, O Israel. Be glad and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has removed the judgment against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You have no further misfortune to fear. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear not, O Zion, be not discouraged. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty Savior. He will rejoice over you with gladness and renew you in his love. He will sing joyfully because of you, as one sings at festivals. Haydock Commentary. The Lord has removed the judgment against you by nailing to the cross the writing that was against you. God does not treat thee with rigor. He will be thy king. The Jews had no king for a long time, but the true Israel, of whom the prophet speaks, is continually ruled and fed by Jesus Christ, who imparts his graces abundantly. The second reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord always. I shall say it again, rejoice. Your kindness should be known to all. The Lord is near. Have no anxiety at all, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. From the Biblical Commentary of Father Charles Callan. Rejoice in the Lord always. Speaking to all, the Apostle repeats his exhortations of Philippians 3:1, bidding his readers to rejoice in the Lord always, on account of the many spiritual blessings they now enjoy, and that are promised them both here and hereafter by the Savior who has redeemed them. There is never wanting to them a motive of spiritual joy. Let your kindness be known to all, the Lord is nigh. As an effect of their spiritual joy, they are to manifest their modesty, that is, their gentleness and kindness, to all men, even to those whom he had before called enemies of the cross of Christ. With all they are to deal in a kindly manner, thus showing the value and loveliness of the religion they profess. The great cause of their joy is that the Lord is nigh. St. Thomas says, a man rejoices at the coming of a friend, and the Greeks understood it of the general judgment. Others think it refers to the ever-present grace and help of God. The former opinion is more probable. Christ is coming to judge and crown us for our patience and spirit of sweet endurance. The Apostle often speaks of the final judgment as if it were close at hand, in order that his readers might keep it ever in their minds. Have no anxiety at all, etc. Anxious solicitude is an impediment to joy, and hence the Apostle now admonishes, be nothing solicitous, that is, have no anxieties, either as regards goods you lack or evils you bear, but in every work and condition have recourse to God by prayer and supplication, that is, with fervor and perseverance, not forgetting prayers of thanksgiving. For God is ever ready to hear your worthy petitions, and will always grant what you ask or something better. God never fails to answer in some way prayers that are properly made, though he will not give us what is not for our good, and gratitude for favors received disposes God to grant more favors. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That is, the effect of prayer that is properly made is peace of mind and soul. The Gospel from Luke chapter 3, verses 10 through 18. The crowds asked John the Baptist, What should we do? He said to them in reply, Whoever has two cloaks should share with the person who has none, and whoever has food should do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said to him, Teacher, what should we do? He answered them, Stop collecting more than what is prescribed. Soldiers also asked him, And what is it that we should do? He told them, Do not practice extortion, do not falsely accuse anyone, and be satisfied with your wages. Now the people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Exhorting them in many other ways, he preached good news to the people. Haydock Commentary. Whoever has two cloaks should share with the person who has none. Here St. John exhorts them to works of charity towards the poor by giving what is superfluous. We are taught that whatever we have more than our own wants require must be bestowed on those who are in need, for the love of that God of whom we have received all. Charity to the poor is frequently recommended in Scripture as a powerful method of redeeming sin and reconciling us to divine mercy. This was Daniel's advice to King Nebuchadnezzar, May my counsel please thee, O King, and do thou redeem thy sins with alms and mercy to the poor. Hence St. John Chrysostom says, The poor are physicians, and their hands are an ointment for your wounds. See the unbounded love of God. He offers us his mercy, provided we will relieve our indigent brethren. St. John tells the tax collectors to abstain from every species of fraud, that by first restraining all desires of the good of others, they may at length come to communicate some of their own to their neighbors. All were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. Many reasons might have induced the people to think that John was the Christ. First, the wonders that took place at his birth and conception, his mother being very old and without any prospect of offspring. Second, the excellence of his preaching, his mortified life, and the novelty of his baptism. And third, the report which then generally prevailed among the Jews that the Messiah was already come, on account of the coming of the Magi and the murder of the infants by Herod, both which circumstances were probably fresh in their memory, and several perhaps who had witnessed them were still living. The mention of baptism by the Holy Spirit and fire, the fire is a metaphor to signify the Holy Ghost and his gifts, particularly the fire of divine love to the expiation of sins, and is very common in Scripture. Sometimes also he is represented by water, as in John 4:10. Hence, in the hymn to the Holy Ghost, the Church uses both figures, Thou who art called the Paraclete, best gift of God above, the living spring, the living fire, sweet unction and love. By the barn and the threshing floor is here prefigured the Church of Christ, in which many are called, but few are chosen. The cleansing of the floor is performed both here when the wicked, on account of their open crimes, are excluded from the communion of the faithful by the Church, or on account of their hidden sins, are after death by infinite justice chastised, but most especially at the end of the world when the Son of Man shall send his angels to gather from his kingdom all scandals.